Well, good evening, everybody. As far as earthly standards go, this is an international gathering. But as far as our citizenship in heaven goes, we're gathered here as brothers and sisters. Amen? So if you have your Bible with you, would you please open to Mark chapter 2? And before we jump in, I just want to preface our time in the Word with this thought, that there is no greater relationship than being known by Jesus and knowing Jesus. Amen? That there's nothing as important as being known by Jesus and knowing Jesus. Nothing. And so we're here because of Jesus. I mean, I don't know how many countries are represented here, old and young alike here, but we're here because of Jesus. So I want to say this. I don't ever want to assume just because we've gathered and there's a conference happening, there might be somebody here that you haven't given your heart to Jesus yet. And it's no accident that you're here to hear the word of God. And I've got great news for you. Jesus Christ loves you. Jesus Christ loves you, and he wants to spend eternity with you. He died on the cross for you. And so for those of us that have received the gift of salvation, we've given our heart to Christ. We know what that's like to pass on to the other side. It's the most incredible thing that you have ever done and will ever do. And so just want to throw that out there. And this thought, Luke 19, verse 10 says, "The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." Jesus' whole purpose for coming was that we would spend eternity with him. Mark 10, verse 45 says, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many." Well, we're the many. Amen? So before we jump into Mark chapter 2, would you please allow me to pray? Let's bow our heads. Father, thank you so much for bringing us together. Thank you, Lord, that you love us. And the only way we can love you is because you first loved us. I do pray, I echo what John said. Lord, remove the distractions. People tired here, awaken our hearts. Those who are thinking of other things, slow our mind down. And may the only thing we see and hear in our time together is you, Jesus. So as we open up the word, we know that your word tells us faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So we know that all of us have an opportunity for our faith to increase now, Lord. And we pray that you would imprint on our heart the very truth that we need, not just for our own life, but to share with the world around us, Lord. So fill us with your spirit and just be with us in this time. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. As Christian said, I'm from Harrisonburg, Virginia, 11-hour time difference. So it's 5 a.m. my time right now. And I always wondered what it would be like to do a sermon at 5 a.m. and get to do that now. So we've been here a couple of days, and I think I've adjusted, and then I zone out, and then I'm like, I haven't adjusted yet. But trusting that the Lord will walk us through this. Well, Mark chapter 2, one of my personal favorite portions of Scripture. Verse 1. "When he had come back to Capernaum several days afterward, it was heard that he was at home." Now, how many of you here have been to Israel? Just show of hands. How many have been to Israel? Oh, quite a few of you. Awesome. So I'm assuming that everybody's hand that just went up, you've been to Capernaum, or at least the Sea of Galilee region. And if you've been there, you know that it's still very laid back. It's almost like stepping back in time just a little bit. And when you're there, you can almost, for me personally, I'm looking around and I'm like, wow, this is where it all began. This is where Jesus did 85% of his recorded ministry, was right here in this Sea of Galilee region. And if you're there, there's not a lot of bells and whistles to it. There's not a lot of things happening there that would tell you, wow, this is going to sweep the world. This is going to sweep the world for thousands of years. There was no Facebook. There was no Instagram. There wasn't any of those things. But here's what there was. Jesus. And that's all there needs to be. Amen? And Jesus took ordinary men and ordinary women and did extraordinary things through them. Things that have lasted all these days. That's the reason we're here. And so when we read when he'd come back to Capernaum several days afterward, it was heard that he was at home. And so Jesus, verse 2, it says, many were gathered together so that there was no longer room, not even near the door, and he was speaking the word to them. This young lady in the back gave praise that the house is full today. What is your name again? Brooke. What a great thing to give praise for. What a great thing to look around and say, we want every seat filled in every church that's teaching the truth of God's word. We don't need smaller churches or less people. We want the church to be growing. Amen? We want people to come and know who Jesus is. Now, when the people heard that Jesus was here, it says many were gathered, just like there is today. I don't know how many countries are represented here, but a lot. And people have come from as close as a mile away and as far as 8,500 miles away. There was no longer room, not even the door, near the door, and he was speaking the word to them. Now, this is important, isn't it? Just a couple of you think so. This is important, isn't it? This is very important. This is the word of God. Now, at this particular Bible study, the actual word, Jesus, was doing the teaching. I'm going to go out on a limb and just say that it was solid teaching. I'm just going to say it was as good as it gets on this day. You know, we have 66 books written by some 40 authors over 1,500 years. All of it ties together. 39 books speaking of the coming Messiah and 27 books speaking of the revelation of that Messiah. All of it tied together. I don't know about you. My mind kind of trips out on these kinds of things. To think if we wrote a letter right now that, let's just take the New Testament, 2,000 years from now, in the year 4023, which we probably won't be here. But wouldn't it be amazing? It's just crazy to think that there would be people gathering together to be impacted by something written that long ago. And not just impacted, but lives radically transformed. That's what the Word of God does. It speaks God's truth to us. It reveals to us who Jesus Christ is. In fact, in Romans it says, how will they know unless they hear? How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Jesus was bringing the best of news, speaking of the Old Testament passages. And guys, God has given us the same call. For those of us who know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, we're the feet that he's asking to go out there to share with the world that there is a Lord and Savior. That they can turn from their sins, they can turn from the ways of the world, they can turn from their anger, they can turn from their insecurities, they can turn from whatever it is they've gone after, their addictions, and give it all to Jesus. Everybody look down at your feet. Now, these are the feet that he says are beautiful. Thank goodness I have shoes on. But these are the feet that he's asking to go out there to share the greatest news of all. And it says he was speaking the word to them. Guys, just a couple of verses in regards to the word. How many of you are tired of sin? Just a show of hands. Okay, most of us. It says in Psalm 119, verse 11, thy word I have treasured in my heart that I may not sin against you. This matters. I get people come to me all the time, Ronnie, I'm struggling, will you pray for me? And I just start asking some questions. Hey, have you been reading your word? No, I haven't been reading my word. You've been praying? No, I haven't been praying. You've been going to church? No, not much. I think we've found the problem. This matters. And when it says, thy word I have treasured, let's just all of us for a second ask ourselves, are we treasuring God's word? Or have we gotten to a place in our walk that it's become kind of apathetic, where we're not as excited about reading the word as we were a month ago, a year ago, 3 years ago? And we're wondering why our walk feels a little bit dry. Why what God has called us to do feels just like it's a grind. And maybe it's simply because you haven't been sitting and letting the word saturate your heart and letting the Spirit come and reveal the truth of God's word to you. And treasure, to treasure something means you hold it close and valuable to your heart. Thy word I have treasured in my heart, that I may not sin against you. Maybe you're sitting here and you're wondering, which way should I be going? The same Psalm 119 verse 105 says, your word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. I don't know about you. Some of you in here, maybe you can remember when you weren't walking with the Lord. For the first 24 years of my life, I never went to church, never read the Bible, knew nothing about it, knew nothing about Jesus. Wasn't an atheist. I believed in a God, but it was Ronnie's God. But then the Lord got me, pulled me out of crystal meth, pulled me out of life of drugs, of sexual addictions, of lying, of stealing and breaking and entering and all those things. The Lord took it away. Went to church. I was on my way to an Indian reservation to go gambling. And I thought, I'm going to stop at this church and God will see me and I'll win thousands of dollars at the casino tonight. That's where my mind was. That's where I was at in my life. I was losing it up here. No, I lost it. That night I stopped at the church and it was though the Lord handed this pastor a sheet of paper and said, there's going to be a guy here tonight and here's his life story. And I've never met this pastor. I've never shook his hand. His name is Leo Giovanetti. And I just think he must have been prayed up. I thought about it all these years. And just God gave him just darts for my heart. And by the end of the message, I was crying. I was pouring sweat. I was high when I went to the church. And people have asked, can you get saved when you're on drugs? Yes. God can save anyone. Whenever. And there I was crying and gave an altar call and I went up. This large hand fell on me. I turned around. There was a large Samoan man standing there, just hugged me and started praying for me. But it came from hearing the word of God and the truth of God's word. By the time we were done talking for an hour and a half, I said, I need help. I said, I know nothing about the Bible. I'm supposed to go to an Indian reservation. What do I do? He said something so profound. He said, don't go to the reservation. I was like, yes. Say no. You see, I had never said no to the world. The Bible tells us that the path to destruction is wide and many find it. It is easy to walk on the path of the world. The world presents it as easy. Narrow is the path that leads to life, and few find it. Few find it because it costs us something, and we're going to talk about that in just a minute. It costs us living for ourselves. The hardest thing for us to let go of is our own ways. The hardest thing to let go of is what I want to do. And so Jesus is speaking the word to them. Guys, the word matters. Amen? Let's quit neglecting our word. Let's get into, everybody hold your Bible up. Everybody get your Bible up. Lift it up high, everybody. Not low. If you brought a heavy Bible, lift it. It's your own fault for bringing a heavy Bible. All right, everybody got it up high? Okay, we're going to do something that might seem childish, and that's okay. On the count of three, we're going to yell word. Can we do that? No, everyone's like, no, I'm not going to do that. On the count of three, we're going to yell word. Are we ready? Okay, if we yell it loud, we can put our Bibles down. If not, we keep it up, okay? All right, here we go. One, two, three.
Word.
That was pitiful. We can do better. And you'll hear in a second that we can do better. That was like our golf word. Word. We're going to go loud here, okay? On three. One, two, three.
Word.
All right, much better. You can put your Bibles down. The word's important. Now let's get to verse 3 here. Jesus is teaching. There's no longer room, not even near the door in the house that he's in. It's packed out. Verse 3, they came bringing to him a paralytic carried by four men. Guys, if I was titling the message and they asked me for a title, so I made one up. Be the they. Be the they. Most of the world will never know our name, and we should be quite content with that. The only name that we care about the world knowing is Jesus Christ. And I have been so encouraged by these four men for 29 years. I got saved in August of 1994 at age 24. And I don't know if this was the second or third story I read, but when I read it, it struck me, their faith. And I was struck by this. It says, they came bringing to him a paralytic carried by four men. My mind for many years has played through those individuals that shared about Jesus Christ before I got saved. People I'd never met, people I have no clue who they are or where they are now. I could bore you for an hour or two the stories of people that had the faith to come and stop me on the boardwalk when I was high, knock on my door and ask to share, leave a Bible in my hands. So many times God knocked on my heart. They were the they in my life. I was paralyzed, not physically, but spiritually paralyzed. And they had the faith to try and carry my heart to the feet of Jesus. Christians, we are the they. And all of us know somebody that is paralyzed spiritually. All of us knows someone that does not know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And the Lord is asking us to bring them to Him. We're His plan to reach the world. Isn't that crazy? I mean, look around the room just for a second. Everybody just look around. Don't be afraid to make eye contact. This is God's plan. With Jesus, it's possible. Apart from Him, it's not. And here's what it says. They came bringing to Him a paralytic carried by four men. Now, I want to be very careful how I word this. I've given these four men names. Please don't go and say, hey, I know the names of these four men. I've given them a name. Okay? Let's read what they do, and we'll go back and talk about the names. When they got there, we already know there was no longer room. And it says, being unable to get to him because of the crowd, they removed the roof above him, and when they had dug an opening, they let down the pallet on which the paralytic was lying. Let's give these guys some names. First of all, I think love. They loved this person so much that they were willing to do whatever it took to get him to the most important place he needed to be, at the feet of Jesus. This man was paralyzed. Laying there in bad shape. He was not just partially paralyzed. It took four men to carry him. So we're going to go that he was paralyzed from the neck down. Couldn't move at all. Love. The second thing is faith. It takes a great deal of faith at any point to reach out and invite a heart to come to Jesus. But let's not forget why we're here. Because our hearts will put before Jesus. I'm just going to go out on a limb. If any of us had the cure for cancer and we knew somebody with cancer, we would offer it up quickly, wouldn't we? In a second, we would do it. We know the cure to the greatest disease of all, sin. Why are we not as quick to offer that up? Why are we not as quick to take the greatest cure, Jesus Christ's death on the cross, His shed blood for the remission of our sins, and say to the world, we know what's needed. It's Jesus. And they had the faith to say, hey, we're taking you somewhere. Now, we don't know if this guy was saying, let's go, let's do it, or if he's like, I'm not going anywhere. But he didn't have a choice because he was paralyzed. They said, we're taking you. So they had the faith. And I got to believe this. You're not doing these kinds of things unless it's a labor of joy. So the third name is joy. They had a joy to be able to serve the Lord. It's like, there's always an overly optimistic person in the crowd. There's always somebody like, isn't this great? We get to carry you and we're taking you to Jesus and we're going to a stranger's house and we're not going to be able to get in. So we're going to have to go up on the roof and then we're going to rip the roof off. And we're going to lower you down. Isn't that exciting? I mean, how nerve-wracking. I mean, imagine right now this roof being ripped open. We would trip out. We'd be like, whoa. Dust everywhere, drywall everywhere, cables everywhere. And then all of a sudden, ching, 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 just some guy, how you doing? Just being lowered right down in our midst. And we'd be like, and you know who was excited about it? Jesus. And the fourth name is kindness. It takes all of these things to do what these people did. The kindness that they showed to this man. The kindness that they showed to their friend. Now here's the thing. In following Jesus, it costs something. The first thing it costs us is living our way, living a life of sin. The very first thing it costs us is well worth paying. Turning from our sin and turning to Jesus. If you're here tonight and you've been entrenched in sin, repent. Turn from it and turn either to Jesus for the first time or turn back to Him. That's the beauty of the cross. Is He waits for us to come and say, Father, forgive me. I forgive you, Ronnie. Come on. Let's go. But it may cost you something else after you have left your ways. You know, as Christians, we still struggle with this resource called time. And it takes time to step up and out and bring people to the feet of Jesus. Sometimes we can be selfish. Amen? Okay, there's like eight of us like, yeah, amen. And that's, okay. I know me, I'm selfish by nature. I know I can be. The greatest resource we have is Jesus. The greatest resource. In our time, He will take care of it. But here's what we know. I could be wrong. I don't think we're going to make it to 4,023. I believe we're walking in those days called the last days. And there are people dying and headed to hell. The day after I got saved, I met with my good friend. We'd been friends for years, since middle school. We surfed every day, and we got there, and he busted out the bong for us to smoke pot before we went surfing. I said, I don't do that anymore. And he had seen me do it all. He had seen me go to drug rehab at age 19. He had seen me move to New Mexico and disappear for several months. He'd seen me disappear into Tijuana. He'd seen it. And he puts the bong down and goes, now what happened? I said, I can't explain it. I got saved last night. Jesus Christ rescued me. And that's all I knew from the guy that prayed with me the night before. And I knew this too. He said, so what does that mean? I said, it means I'm going to heaven and you are going to hell. Now, granted, this was a good friend, so it wasn't real confrontational. He just let out a deep sigh, and he said, here we go again. And then he proceeded to tell me all the things that I had done that he had never done. And I said, that is all true. And I said, but something happened. That friend still is walking without Christ, and I pray for him often. But it cost something. This roof was not their roof. Think of that. They just said, you know what? We're here. We can't get in. Here's what they could have done. We're sorry, Bob. just let him down, said, we tried, and walked away. They could have put him under a bush where there was shade. They could have walked back to where they were, but they went the full distance. They got him up on the roof, and there came joy again, saying, let's rip the roof off. And faith said, let's do it. And love said, we love you so much, we're going to do it. And kindness was sitting there going, I don't know. I don't, this is not our roof. What should we do? They ripped it open and lowered him down to the feet of Jesus. They were willing to do whatever it took. Are you willing to do whatever it takes to lead the people that Jesus brings across your path to his feet? Are you ready to share the hope that's within you with the world around you? And some of you are like, I don't even know, what is the hope in me? The hope is Jesus Christ. That's why we need to be in the Word. Now let's look what happens. They let him down, and Jesus, seeing their faith, said to the paralytic, son, your sins are forgiven. The greatest thing this heart or any other heart could ever hear, your sins are forgiven. I don't know about you, but I know a lot of people that I hope hear that. Family members, friends, people in our community, neighbors. We don't want heaven to be less populated. Jesus doesn't. He says that he wishes for none to perish in Peter. None means none. His heart is that everyone would receive him as Lord and Savior. God has asked us to take the greatest news of all, to be the they in people's lives, to be those hearts that would be bold enough to say, I know what you need. It's Jesus. To count the cost and say, it's worth paying. If we got to rip roofs off, if I've got to take someone to coffee, if I've got to meet with somebody late at night, if I've got to drive to someone's house, whatever it takes, I'll do it, Jesus. And you notice the first thing Jesus didn't say was, oh, you're paralyzed. Why don't you get up? Because there's a lot of healthy people going to hell. The first thing Jesus did was deal with his heart. Go after his heart. And there's always going to be these people. I'm going to skip through somewhat quick these next few verses. Verse 6. Some of the scribes were sitting there and reasoning in their hearts. Why does this man speak that way? He is blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone? We need to stop there. Who can forgive sins? God alone. Jesus is God. Jesus is God. For those of you that get that question often, take them to this. Now, these are the naysayers, the scribes. Only God can forgive sins. And they would tell you Jesus is not God. But this is further proof. Jesus is God. Immediately, Jesus, aware in his spirit, verse 8, that they were reasoning that way within themselves, said to them, why are you reasoning about these things in your hearts? Which is easier to say to the paralytic, your sins are forgiven, or to say, get up and pick up your pallet and walk? Now, the easier thing to say is your sins are forgiven. That's easier than saying to someone who's physically paralyzed, get up and walk. But blasphemous to the scribes and Pharisees. Jesus, verse 10, so that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. He said to the paralytic, I say to you, get up, pick up your pallet, and go home. What an incredible day for this guy. Woke up paralyzed. By the end of the day, was not only free physically, but was free spiritually and alive in Christ. And I love verse 12. This is the result of us being the they. He got up, immediately picked up the pallet, and went out in the sight of everyone so that they were all amazed and were glorifying God. And were glorifying God. They weren't glorifying the four guys. They weren't heaping praise on them. They weren't elevating them to deity status. They were giving glory to Jesus. They were saying, we have never seen anything like this. Amazement at what the Lord had done and glorifying him. And a life radically changed and transformed for eternity. I don't know about you, but that's awesome. That's what God is waiting to do in and through every single heart sitting in here. Listen, we didn't get here September 2023 because of apathetic Christians. We're not here because people were lazy in their faith. We're here because of men and women who had a fire in them for Jesus Christ, who were on fire and say, I'm leaving it all behind and I'm following you, Jesus. And for a couple thousand years in faith, they stepped up and out under intense persecution, beatings, imprisonment, and death. And yet here we stand. The world has not been able to squash out Jesus Christ. Why? Because he is who he says he is. Amen? Christians, we're here for a conference this week, many of us. People are praying all over the world. The Lord brought us here for many reasons. And at the top of the list is to know him more, to draw closer to him, to make connections with brothers and sisters. There are no lone rangers in Christianity. We are all in this together. Amen? We're a family. And we get to go out and share the greatest news of all. But you can't give what you don't have. If you don't have a faith in Jesus Christ, these things aren't going to happen. If you're living a life still of sin, tonight is the night to repent and turn from it and to turn to Jesus Christ. We said it at the beginning. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Those of us that have been found and we're walking, we should in our hearts be praying the same thing. Lord, please find that one. Like this paralytic, that heart would be set free. Maybe you're here and you have known Christ, but you've strayed. This isn't a first time thing. It's like, you know what? I've been struggling. I've been struggling with pride. I've been struggling with anger. I've been struggling with bitterness. I've been struggling with addictions. I've been struggling with apathy and unbelief. But tonight I'm ready to come back. He is Lord. Lord, I want more of you. And I want to be able to see once again those who are paralyzed. Give me eyes to see and ears to hear as you do, Jesus, that I can enter in and offer the hope that's within me to them. Let's bow our heads. Father, as we bow our heads, we pray for your Spirit to move amongst our hearts now. And Jesus, as you move amongst our hearts, we pray, Lord, that you would awaken us and give us hearts to be like they, to have love, to have faith, to have joy, to have kindness, and to enter into those hearts that are lost to share the greatest news of all, that you are Lord. Father, if there's anyone here that tonight has heard your word and wants to turn from their sin and to turn to you, whether it's for the first time or maybe the second or the fifth or the tenth, whatever it is, may that heart humble itself right now, not caring about anyone else. In fact, realizing that they're in the best place of all, surrounded by brothers and sisters who are going to embrace them and pray for them. But better than that, a Lord and Savior ready to come and say, you are forgiven. Come follow me. If that is you tonight, would you simply raise your hand for us so that we could pray for you? You're ready to turn from your sin. You're ready to turn to Jesus. If that's you, would you just simply raise your hand so that we could pray for you? Anyone at all? Amen. I see your hand. Anyone else? Amen. I see your hand. It takes great faith to do what you just did. It takes great faith. So, Father, we pray for those hands that went up, whose hearts have cried out, Lord Jesus, forgive me. Give them the strength to say no to the world and the faith to say yes to you. For all of us, Lord Jesus, continue to mold us and shape us into the men and women that you've called us to be. And may you be the one that gets all glory for anything that you call us to do, Jesus. So, Father, we thank you for this time tonight, this time together in the Word. And bless the rest of the night of our fellowship. And for those that raise their hands, as they go from here, may the joy of their salvation well up within them. In your name we pray, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Amen.